Life can be really, really interesting. And sometimes not always in the best way. I mean, things can be going along smoothly, everything's going great, and then one day, all of a sudden, boom, everything just falls apart. And it sucks. And it's something that, you know, as adults, we often lay in bed worrying about at night, worrying whether this is going to happen at work, that's going to happen at home, all the crazy things that jump in our head. We spend so much time thinking about it, sometimes we don't look at the silver lining of what happens when life gets derailed.
So the giant question is this: how do we as parents, teachers, school administrators, policymakers, coaches, how do we prepare our kids for a future that doesn't yet exist, all while making them healthier, more creative, more innovative, better problem solvers, and overall successful contributors to society? That is the question, and this podcast has the answers. My name is Coach Mike, and welcome to the MindFit Method Podcast.
If you think back in your life, I'm sure you can identify several different points in your life where everything just kind of fell apart. The floor just fell out from underneath you. Nothing went the way that you anticipated. And, you know, looking back, that's happened three different times in my life. And it's probably happened a lot more than that, but there are three specific times where everything literally just fell apart. It did not go the way that I expected. And what I want to talk about today is that no matter how rough those situations get, that we as human beings actually perform extremely well when our backs are against the wall, when we can't go any lower. It's actually a lot harder sometimes to recover when we're half comfortable, right? We're comfortable in certain senses, but we're not in others. Maybe we're okay financially, but we're miserable in our lives, whatever it may be. Sometimes there is such power in starting back at zero or completely getting knocked down flat on your back and then actually having to rebuild from that. I wanted to share with you guys today a couple different stories. And the reason I'm sharing these with you is because if these things hadn't happened to me, and some of them were from 20, 30 years ago, some of them are more recent, but if these things hadn't happened to me, I can guarantee you I would not be sitting here talking to you today. Because there's no way that the path that I wound up pretty much being required to go on would have occurred if these three life-changing events didn't happen to me. And the first one was actually all the way back when I was 17 years old. It was September 23rd, 1993. And it was a good day. It was a Saturday. I was a cross country runner, and we had an invitational that day. And I actually ran one of my best times ever in cross country. I was excited. I medaled. It was an awesome day. And the funny thing is, I was also really, really into martial arts at the same time. And I had been working for months and months and months to get myself to be able to do a split. I was obsessed with Jean-Claude Van Damme. I was obsessed with martial arts. And I wanted to be able to do a split. And the day that I got to be able to do a split where I could get myself all the way down was that day. It was September 23rd, 1993. And, you know, that evening, I wanted to celebrate. I was excited. I was happy. I wanted to go out. And I remember going out on a double date that night. And wound up going to a mini golf place. It was on the northbound side of Route 15 in Jefferson, New Jersey. Went to the mini golf place and had a good time and decided afterwards that we wanted to go to the local mall that was near us, which required us to go cross over Route 15 on the northbound side, go back down the southbound side of 15 to head down that way. And, you know, I was a young driver. I was in a 1996 Dodge Daytona Turbo Z. I don't know if it was a 96 or not. That's irrelevant. but they, you know, wound up stopping at the stop sign, getting ready to cross over. At that point, it had started to rain. It was a dark, you know, right at the point where you're at dusk. And I looked, I didn't see anything coming. And I proceeded to cross Route 15. And in the next second, I was broadsided by a Jeep Wrangler at 65 miles an hour. It hit me directly in my driver's side door. I remember, you know, after the car stopped sliding, the person that I had double dated with that night, the guy was a, he was a EMT, he was a paramedic, and he wound up getting into the car behind, in the seat behind me to support my neck, because if you saw the car, you would have thought that I was dead. In fact, one of my friends went past that accident scene that night, and everyone kind of knew my car. I had the red, bright red Dodge Daytona, and he said, wow, whoever's in that car is dead, and he didn't even recognize that it was my car because it was so mangled. And, you know, because of that night, wound up breaking the ball right off my femur. And at 17 years old, I was now on an operating table, and I had a plate, a pin, and four screws put into my hip, which is, you know, a common thing that you do for when you're 70, 80, 90 years old. And I'd love to say that the story kind of ends there, and it was definitely a story that changed the trajectory of my life. But it didn't end there, because in addition to the fact that I had just broken my leg, my planned career, what I wanted to do from a very young age, was I wanted to be a police officer. And the way that I was going to go about doing that was I was planning on going in the military. I had, you know, was all ready to go into the Army as a military police, and that was going to be my path. When I got out, I was going to, you know, go to college for criminal justice, and I wanted to become a police officer. My dad worked in law enforcement my entire life, and that was what I wanted to do. And that night, when I broke my hip, I didn't know it yet, but that completely changed the path that I was going to have to take. Months and months later, and I wound up being on crutches for nearly 9 months. The bone would not fuse. Little did I know at the time, but younger people actually have really terrible blood flow to their hip area, and the bone wouldn't fuse. And the insurance company would not approve this special device that I could wear at night to help the bone to fuse until I think I hit the 7 or 8 month mark of it not fusing. And finally, they wind up approving it. So, you know, I break my hip in September. I finally get off crutches in April of my senior year. It was a long time to be on crutches. And I remember meeting with the recruiter. The recruiter actually came to my high school one day, and it was a recruiter I had been working with up to that point, who I had kept in touch with. And he said, oh yeah, no. This is no problem. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. And I remember he came to the school, and I came up to him, and I was not off crutches yet. But I was getting close, and I walked up to him and said, hey, you know, I'm so excited for all this, you know, and I could tell he didn't even want to make eye contact with me. He was totally avoiding me. And he finally came out and said, you know, dude, you'll be all set. The only thing you got to do is get all that hardware out of your hip. I remember looking at him and saying, yeah, no, that's not going to happen, because that's part of me now. And I will never forget, the recruiter looked me dead in the eye, and as nonchalantly as I'm talking to you right now, he said, well, the only thing I can say to that man is thanks, but no thanks, because the military is not going to want you. And I had no other plan. It was February of my senior year. I was just a few months away from getting off of crutches. I was planning on going in the military. I was graduating in just a couple of months. So everything that I had planned to do changed. And as I started to have conversations with other people, including my dad, it turned out that, you know, not only was the military going to be a problem if I wanted to be a police officer, but because of this hardware in my hip and because I had an injury, I was now a liability. And I might have just as difficult a time even trying to get through a police academy. And I was devastated. I was truly devastated. And I remember my dad didn't really give me a whole lot of time to wallow or, you know, wallow in my sorrows. He's like, all right, so what's the plan? And, you know, I loved fitness. Even when I was on crutches, I'd sit and curl. I'd do shoulder presses. I'd do, you know, everything I could do. I'd do bench press that I could do when I didn't have to be standing, you know, in order to be able to work out. And I was like, well, maybe I can go to school to be a personal trainer. So that is what I wound up doing. And the funny thing is, again, you don't know that path that actually lies in front of you. So I went to college. I went to SUNY Cortland in upstate New York. Loved it. Had an amazing time. 4 years of school was phenomenal. You know, met some amazing people and, you know, got out of college. And I'll never forget, I went to a gym to go get a job as a personal trainer. Now I had my bachelor's degree. And the gym wanted to pay me $10 an hour. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe you don't understand, but I have a bachelor's degree now, so you should be paying me at least $40,000 or $50,000 a year. And I just remember they said to me, yeah, no, doesn't matter. Someone else will do the job if you don't do it. And I was shocked. So that was the first time that, you know, I really, my whole trajectory changed. And again, even with that story, I'd love to say it ended there, but it didn't. Because just as I was graduating college, I was having a lot of problems with my hip. And the military was right, obviously, to say thanks, but no thanks. And it turns out I had developed a condition called avascular necrosis, which means the bone of the ball of my femur died. And that happens due to inadequate blood flow. So what essentially happened was... at the age of 22, about 3 days after college graduation, I was on the operating table again, and I had a hip replacement. I was the youngest hip that my doctor had ever done at 22 years old. And again, devastating, totally. But once I had that done, then I kind of was really on a road to recovery for that point. I could start doing things again. I wasn't having pain anymore. I mean, up to that point, I was a 22-year-old that walked around like a 90-year-old. I was bent over. It would take me forever to go from a standing to a sitting position. It was a rough time. But, you know, it wound up changing my trajectory. And I didn't stay in fitness. I kind of realized that, you know what, I'm not going to be able to make what I want to make in this industry doing what I'm doing. So I kind of made a switch and wound up through a wide variety of choices working in business. I wound up working in the student loan industry. I worked for banks. I worked for nonprofit lenders and learned so much, worked with such amazing people. Again, a very fond time of my life. You know, when the Obamacare bill was passed, a lot of people don't realize this, but when the Obamacare bill was passed, they had to find $4 billion in savings in the first year in order to get that bill passed. So in order to do it, they passed another bill inside of the Obamacare bill for healthcare that eliminated banks from being able to do student loans. So in the past, if you took out your Stafford loans, your PLUS loans, you used to be able to do that with your local bank. So I had worked for PNC Bank. I had worked for Sallie Mae. I worked for an amazing company called North Star Capital Markets. And all of a sudden, because this bill was passed, an entire industry was just wiped out because banks could no longer do what was called FFELP loans, which were those Stafford loans and those PLUS loans. And now you had to borrow everything directly from the Treasury. And this, again, was devastating. And, you know, at the time that was happening, I was finishing up my MBA. Actually, I was about halfway through my MBA. And I was now unemployed. You know, me and about 30,000 of my closest friends, we all lost our jobs because of this bill that was passed. And, you know, I'm sitting in my MBA class. Now I have no job. I had a new baby that was on the way. Our third son was on the way. Again, everything's derailed, right? Everything's broken. Nothing's working the way it should. And it turns out that one of the guys who's in my MBA class is the CEO of a small hospital in New Jersey. And, you know, he says to me one day, hey, did I hear you need a job? You know, it looks like you do sales and marketing, and I need some of that in my hospital. So, again, a complete left turn, one that I did not expect, a path that I had no intention of going on because my life had just been completely derailed. And now the next thing I knew, I was working in the healthcare industry. And I actually remember the first day on the job convincing myself that it's okay, because I took a pretty decent pay cut to take this job. And I said to myself, it's okay. You're going to be in this job for 2 or 3 months until you find a real job. And I stayed at that job for just over 8 years, built quite a career out of it, was very successful, moved my way up the ladder, and enjoyed it. Worked with a great team of people, really enjoyed it. And made a decision that I wanted my own business. And I left my job, which is something that a lot of people say was insane. It was crazy. It was risky. I was 40 years old. When I did it at that point, I left my job and I built MindFit. And MindFit, again, was an unbelievable thing that it's something I'm very proud of. As devastated as it was when I had to close the building and COVID happened and all of those things, but you know, it was still an amazing thing. And when COVID happened and MindFit had to close, again, life completely derailed. All your hopes, all your dreams, everything that I had been, you know, trying to work towards, everything fell apart. And it was a huge blow financially. It was a huge blow from the standpoint of, you know, just my emotions, my confidence, all of it. It was a really, really difficult time, not only for me, but for my entire family. And again, you think life's derailed, nothing's working in your way, everything's just falling apart. And yet, here I am talking to you today, back working in the healthcare industry, rebuilding and rebranding MindFit, getting ready to publish my second book, speaking on a podcast that now has crossed just about over 25,000 listeners. It's just unbelievable how when everything falls apart, maybe it's just part of the path, part of the growth that you actually have to have. And, you know, as human beings, we work really, really well when our backs are against the wall. It's a lot harder to force change or create change when you have options. Options sometimes make you indecisive. They don't allow you to really, I guess you could say, take the risks or do the things that you need to do, because you're like, I still have this option though. I could still do that. I'm reading a fantastic book right now. It's called Burn the Boats. I'm truly enjoying it. Would highly recommend it to all of you. But it's the same premise. Like, sometimes you just need everything to fall apart, that floor to just fall out from underneath you in order to rebuild, to be the person that you really want to be, or to live the life that you really want to live, or to build the career or the business that you want to build. And let me tell you something, that path is not straight, right? It's got hills, it's got 90 degree turns that you're supposed to take at 60 miles an hour when you know it's just not possible. It's got cliffs, it's got, you know, everything in there, speed bumps, it's got, you know, obstacles and just things that are supposed to throw you off. But this is where your resiliency comes in. And I know I've done a whole episode on, you know, how we're losing our resiliency as a society today. But you have to be resilient. It always takes me back to the Friends episode where they're trying to get the couch up the stairs and all they keep saying is pivot, pivot. That's our lives, right? We just constantly have to pivot. But sometimes it's really hard to pivot. It's really hard to change if we don't have that, you know, just we're all the way back down at the bottom. and we got to figure out where we grow from here. And it doesn't mean it's not going to be uncomfortable. It doesn't mean there isn't going to be difficult times, but these are the things that are going to define you. These are the things that are going to help you grow into the successful person, not only that you want to be, but that you want to be remembered as. It's your resiliency that's going to drive you forward. So if you're at a point in your life right now where that's where you are, everything just feels like it's falling apart. Everything feels like, you know, nothing is going the way that you want it to go. Do not lose hope, because it's not that life is necessarily acting against you. Life is just preparing you for the things that you have to do to move forward. And if you take on those challenges every time you get knocked down, and I always think of Rocky. Rocky got knocked down so many times in every single one of the movies. And yes, I know it's a fictional character, but every time Rocky got knocked down, the only reason Rocky was able to continue to keep moving was he got back up. And that's what you need to do. So if you're in that point right now, you need to get back up. You need to go forward. You need to fight for what you want. You need to pivot, right? And you need to expect that the path that's in front of you, even if you think that path is clear as can day and you know exactly what you're going to have to do, maybe it's not that path. Maybe it's actually the path that runs parallel to it, or the one that runs perpendicular to it when you get to that intersection that you're going to have to take that hard right turn or hard left turn at 60 miles an hour and you don't think you can do it. But I'm telling you right now, you can. You absolutely can do it. I have no doubt in my mind. You just got to keep your mindset straight, your resiliency there, and you need to make sure you're taking care of yourself. You do all of those things and you are setting yourself up for one amazing future. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I love the fact that you listen to this podcast. I'm so excited that I get to spend time with you every week. If you like the podcast, don't forget to also follow me on Instagram. I am Mike Fancher Official. It's where I share a lot more content, whether it's reels or even just inspirational quotes on a daily basis. And don't forget, the new book comes out in just a few weeks, The Dopamine Intervention. So until next time.